Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. Basement Blast Time. I was going to do Jonas Brothers Part 2, but then of course the big announcement with Meghan and Harry, so Jonas Brothers Part 2 is tomorrow, and it is a good one. Really, really good. I can't believe some of the stuff that I unearthed. It's going to be good. And then, let's see, also the next deep dive after that, I think, is going to be Chelsea Handler, so stick around for that. The Death of Jimi Hendrix Part 2, so a lot of stuff going on. But let's talk about the Meghan and Harry thing. I saw this great tweet today, and it just said, let's be clear, Prince Harry isn't giving up the privilege of the royal family to live in a monastery sworn to poverty and abstinence. He's just moving from wealthy royal who lives in luxury to wealthy prince who lives in luxury, but can tell the press to sod off. And that's essentially what it is, right? Apparently, well, what the Queen says is that, you know, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, they're going to be known as Harry, Duke of Sussex, and Meghan, Duchess of Sussex. And there's some things in the statement that the Sussexes released today, along with what the Queen said. And I'm going to talk about both. But the essentials is that Harry and Meghan can do what they want in North America and set up their own agenda, make money how they choose, but they've pledged to uphold, quote, the Queen's values. So I guess that means no waist trainer tea? Or candles smelling like vaginas? the Queen, you know, thanked them for what they had done and everything. But what the Queen said was, following many months of conversations and more recent discussions, I'm pleased that together we have found a constructive and supportive way forward for my grandson and his family. Harry, Meghan, and Archie will always be much loved members of my family. I recognize the challenges they've experienced as a result of intense scrutiny over the last 2 years and support their wish for a more independent life. I want to thank them for all their dedicated work across this country, the Commonwealth, and beyond, and am particularly proud of how Meghan has so quickly become one of the family. It is my whole family's hope that today's agreement allows them to start building a happy and peaceful new life. Now, this is the statement from Buckingham Palace. That was the Queen. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are grateful to Her Majesty and the royal family for their ongoing support as they embark on the next chapter of their lives. As agreed in this new arrangement, they understand they are required to step back from royal duties, including official military appointments, so no more Captain General of the Marines. They will no longer receive public funds for royal duties. What is missing from this is that they won't get any more money from the Sovereign Trust, but they're still going to get their money from Prince Charles every year. So they're still going to get $3 million a year. Not really a hardship. Then the other thing is, with the Queen's blessing, the Sussexes will continue to maintain their private patronages and associations, which is kind of good because, you know, you wouldn't want to see Harry have to give up the Invictus Games. While they can no longer formally represent the Queen, the Sussexes have made clear that everything they do will continue to uphold the values of Her Majesty. The Sussexes will not use their HRH titles as they are no longer working members of the royal family. So, and I'm going to read the rest of the statement in a second, but what the Sussexes said was, in line with the statement by Her Majesty the Queen, information on the roles and work of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex will be updated on this website in due course. We appreciate your patience and invite you to explore the site to see the current works of their royal highnesses. So they're still using the title. 2 hours after the statement that says that they wouldn't be using them anymore. They should have said to see the current works of Harry and Meghan, but they didn't. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex have shared their wish to repay sovereign grant expenditure. Okay. If you look at the reporting, it says that Harry and Meghan are going to pay back that £2.4 million, so the $3 million, a little over, $3.5 million. But that's not what the statement says. It just says they have shared their wish to repay sovereign grant expenditure. It doesn't mean they're going to do it. It just, they're saying, you know, we hope to repay it. But it doesn't actually say that they will. And it says, for the refurbishment of Frogmore Cottage, which will remain their UK family home. So, this home is going to sit idle, and apparently they are supposed to pay commercial rent, not a nominal rent, a commercial rent. What do we think if you take five separate cottages and make them into one cottage? How much do you think the rent would be for something like that? I would venture to say $50,000, $100,000 a month, something like that. Are they really going to spend $1 million a year on rent for some place that they're going to use a couple weeks a year? I don't think that they're going to end up paying any rent. And Buckingham Palace does not comment on the details of security arrangements. There are well-established independent processes to determine the need for publicly funded security. The new estimate of security for the couple is nearing about $10 million a year. $10 million. That's what a security expert hired, who was an expert on security and costs. That's what he estimates. $10 million. And the lion's share, probably 70 to 80%, will be paid by Canadian taxpayers. So because Harry and Meghan decide to live in Canada, all of a sudden Canada has to pay another $8 million for their security. Maybe they should pay for it themselves. And this new model will take effect in spring of 2020. In the announcements, nobody said, you know, they refused to divulge who would pay to keep them safe or how much it would cost. But like I said, it's going to be about $10 million. And Justin Trudeau's office declined to comment on the news. And this whole repaying of the cottage money is a joke. And I think it costs way more than $3 million myself, because it had been unused, was, you know, being used for storage and offices and things for decades. And it was five different buildings, and they joined them all together. And a lot of the staff there were reliant on the jobs there. Now, there is the talk that these people weren't made redundant, that they were offered jobs in other places, and I guess we'll find that out. But the thing is, some of those jobs that they're being offered are part-time, and these jobs were full-time. And some of these people who take care of the horses and stuff, they've been there for four or five generations. It's kind of Downton Abbey-ish, if you will. So a lot of these people are going to be without jobs. And, you know, it can be kind of complicated to find a new job in this system, because people stay in the same place for a long, long time. And you have this brand new house that nobody's going to live in. And they're still using the name. They're still using... They're calling themselves their highnesses. You know? I mean, I'm not sure how much more pretentious you can be. I really liked that original tweet. The one that said, you know, Harry's not living on abstinence or something like that. And doing good work. I had said before, if these two had decided to move to Africa and just live a normal middle-class life while doing good deeds and having their charities and funneling all this money that they can raise towards these charities, that would be great. You know, I don't see that. I think that they are still going to continue to use the brand. They're still called the Duke of Sussex and the Duchess of Sussex. It's just they throw in Harry and Meghan before it. That's pretty much the only difference. And Harry's still going to be a prince. He's still sixth in line to the throne. So he didn't say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And my other question is, was Harry always like this? Did he always want to break away from it? I mean, I know when you're not next in line to be the king, you know, he really has no shot. You know, and then you get the partying in Vegas that they covered up for, the partying and other times that he was in the U.S., the partying in Canada, and all these things that happened. And all a lot of that stuff was covered up. A lot of it wasn't. A lot of it was Harry uncovered. And then you had Harry dressed as the Nazi and things like that. Did he want to break away on his own? Did Meghan kind of bring that out of him? Or was it just Meghan tried it for a few months, didn't like it at all? And these are the kind of questions that I have. And one of the things that I read was you can't actually strip them of the HRH thing without Parliament being involved. So they'll just keep going, you know, they'll still use it anyway, which we've seen in the statement. And there's no way that the British royal family can even enforce the usage or non-usage of it. And then one of my sources, he was talking about the people and the jobs and everything. And when he was talking about the horses, he said, you know, some of the people who take care of the horses on the various estates are like fifth generation horse carers. This isn't a job to these people. It's a way of life. People aren't just hired from the outside for trusted positions in households either. They come from families who've done this for many generations. My friend's family has worked in royal service on and off since the 1850s. So when someone takes a job in a household of an A-list royal, they likely came from another place in the organization where they were trusted and their family had a reputation for loyalty. Now those people are without positions, will have to find a new place somewhere else, which is complicated within the system. And apparently, Prince Charles is kind of hurt and angry about this turn of events because he funded Meghan Markle and stepped into the void at the wedding when the drama with her dad happened. And rumors among the staff are that he's deeply upset right now. Apparently, the breakaway from the British royal family was discussed early on, but not on the terms that it's become a reality. So it was a bait and switch, where discussions and agreements were made about engaging outside of the UK in work, but not a total amputation of duties. And this person who is the source kind of opined on Prince William and Kate. And this person who, and again, this is somebody who has been involved in royal service for a long time and is obviously loyal to the idea of the monarchy. And they said they don't believe the cheating rumors about Prince William and Kate, and said that Prince William made a very wise choice of a wife and everyone knows it, and that Prince William's petulant at times and can be willful and difficult, and that he got those personality traits from his mother, who could also be her own worst enemy. And apparently Kate is the one person who can kind of talk some sense into him when he's being bullheaded. The other observation this person made is that the long-term relationship between this couple was more by her design than his, and that he would have preferred to marry Kate right out of university, but she was not sure she wanted to do this. And I think that that's kind of borne out a little bit. And it was mostly due to anxiety about being a public figure. And let's not forget that as bad as Meghan has been trashed in the UK tabloids, Kate, before Meghan came along, was trashed all the time too. I mean, I think once she started having kids, I think that tone kind of changed a little bit. But prior to that, and when they were, Kate was not well-liked, really. And this friend who thinks that Prince William didn't actually cheat on Kate, and I actually think that Prince William did cheat on Kate with Rose Hanbury, but that these, obviously the Rose Hanbury rumors have been very hurtful, and some who are loyal to Prince William and Kate believe that Meghan Markle was behind the rumors. Now, my sourcing is that, coming from Meghan's side, is that Meghan did, in fact, her people, release the news about Prince William and Rose Hanbury, but that there was actually cheating. So, either way, it came from Meghan's side. Of that, there is no doubt. Now, was she reporting rumors? Was she reporting something that she knew was a fact? And, you know, apparently Kate and Meghan just never connected because Kate's an introvert and doesn't really trust people that she hasn't known for a long time. And that Kate is very, very invested in her work, especially with the mental health charities. and that Kate suffered from bullying and crippling shyness as a kid, and that she also suffered from depression as a child as a result. Now, that could very well be true, and that could be why she and Harry were so close. Because I think that Harry has some kind of issues, and I think that they go back to the death of his mother. And I think that that's very likely. And, you know, he was really young when she died. And then I think some of him just might be inherited in her genes. There's certainly that possibility. Because if you go back and look over time, and Harry and Kate were the ones who were thick as thieves. I mean, Harry wanted to live with William McCabe because Kate was around. And he would go do royal appearances with Kate, and William wouldn't. It would just be Harry and Kate. And then that just did this complete 180. Now, did it do a complete 180 because of Meghan? Did it do a complete 180 because William didn't like Meghan? Did it do a complete 180 because Prince Harry and Prince William stopped getting along? Did he think that Prince Harry and Kate were too close? Did he think that Prince Harry shouldn't marry Meghan that quick? There was something. There was some triggering effect. Because Prince Harry and Kate, for all accounts, and appearances and looking from the outside, appear to be best friends. Very good friends. Just that you could just tell it in everything that they did together. So what changed? What was that thing that made that happen? And I'm not saying that it's Meghan. I'm just saying that the timing is suspect. And Meghan made, as People Magazine said, and I've been telling you for a long time, Meghan made Harry pull away from his friends. The vast majority of them. I think the only one that really stayed close was the one that his godfather, Archie. You know, the rest, all gone. And was then Kate, because Kate was such a good friend, was that, you know, maybe you shouldn't hang out with Kate so much. You know, I'm here now. And, you know, something like that. And then Harry would go, yeah, of course. Or you don't need to be spending as much time with your friends, you know, because I'm here. Or, you know, these are people that you met because of Cressida or whatever. Or is that, you know, Prince Harry and Prince William got into a horrible fight about Meghan? Or maybe Prince Harry discovered that Prince William was cheating. There's a lot of ifs. I'm just saying that there was some kind of switch that was flipped in the Harry and Kate relationship. I think that there was just Kate and Meghan are two different kind of people. And Meghan is thirsty. I think that we've established that. I think that Reese Witherspoon said it best. You know, because Meghan invited Reese Witherspoon to the wedding, and Reese had never met Meghan, ever. And said, I'm not going. I don't even know who she is. So, if you're randomly inviting people, A-listers, just because you want to meet them, I think that that's kind of thirsty. And, you know, there, like I said, there's a whole lot of actors and actresses and stuff that are thirsty in this town. You kind of have to be, because you are selling yourself, right? The more fame you get, the higher your rate. The more fame you get, then the more you're in tabloids or you're in magazines, the more opportunities you are offered. And maybe Kate said, you know, this is not really my kind of thing, and just was cordial, and Meghan kind of viewed that as a snub and got even. You know, that's kind of the way I see it. And you can kind of, the way that Meghan has moved on from situations and just pretended that other people don't exist who can't help her any longer, you know, it's kind of that mean girl thing, that mean girl's kind of club. And, you know, whether or not Meghan was just reporting rumors or reporting facts, I mean, she did kind of really put a damper on Prince William and Kate's marriage. And you can see that. My gut is that Prince William cheated. But did all of this say, maybe they found out that Meghan said something. And that's kind of what accelerated this whole kind of bad blood because it was around that same time also that they decided that they weren't going to do the foundation together, the four of them, that it was just going to be William and Kate doing it. You know, and if you go after somebody else's marriage, you know, then you can make yours look like it's on more firm footing, if you will. So now that they are able to sign contracts, make deals, are we going to see them fast and furious? Are we going to see Meghan doing the whole lifestyle brand and everything, and then Harry focusing on charities? Or has Harry got the film bug? You know, he's done some interviews for People and not People Magazine, but People in the lowercase p. Maybe he, you know, that's, he envisions himself in this whole kind of, you know, making documentaries and being a filmmaker or something like that. I don't know. Or will he just still want to continue doing charitable things? Because it's essentially all he's known. Or maybe this is a new way. But, you know, if he felt this way, then maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he should have said, I don't want to be part of it. What made him change? What made him decide, hey, I don't want to do it? Was he didn't have the conviction and that he just needed a little help from Meghan? You know, because he seemed very always on board. Did he blow off steam? Yes, but he always seemed he was on board with everything. You know, he did 2 tours in Afghanistan. I mean, he definitely served his country and did so, for the most part, in a very good fashion. And all of a sudden, he just wants to abandon all of that. Why? And eventually, I think that you'll get some kind of interview with them, but it's just going to be garbage. You know, I don't think that we're going to be able to believe any of it, because it's going to be their spin. And we've already seen in this lawsuit that they do spin. At least Meghan does. It doesn't say anything about Harry doing that. Harry hurt Thomas Markle's feelings by not asking how he was after the heart attack. And just saying, hey, you've hurt Meghan, didn't mention, you know, hey, are you going to be okay? You know, heart attack's kind of a serious thing. None of that. They're just kind of always looking out for themselves. And there's nothing wrong with looking out for yourself, but, you know, look out for others too. So I'm interested to see what's going to, I think the next couple of weeks are going to be interesting. And even though this announcement was made, what I said yesterday still holds true about copyrights and intellectual property and things like that. And I think that there's going to have to be contracts drawn up. You have the basic frameworks of agreement, but you need to have something in writing. And I don't know if they have to wait for that before they sign these deals. There has got to be a deal there. You know, they're just waiting to announce it. And I'm anxious to see what exactly it is. And it better not be some, you know, just clothing designs or something like that. You know, let's have something more of substance. All right, you guys, that's it for the Basement Blast. And I will be back tomorrow with Jonas Brothers Part 2.